If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
Right, we'll head back to the DW Stadium in a moment, get some more reaction from Scurry ahead of the, or after the weekend's Rugby League. Full-time this afternoon, Wigan 20, Castlewood 38 in the qualifiers, Featherston 0, Warrington 68. Championship Shield, Batley 34, Sheffield 18, Bradford 72, Rochdale 16, Oldham 22, Dewsbury 29. League One Shield, Barrow 32, Keighley 18, Workington 6, Whitehaven 56, 44-0 in the second half to Haven there. And York 24, Newcastle 26. And in the League One Shield, Crusaders 28, Oxford 14, Gloucestershire 42, Hemel 28, and Hunslet 18, London Scholars 12. That means next week, I think it's next week anyway, Hunslet will play London yet again in the League One Shield final. And due to that win, ending London's long unbeaten run, or winning streak rather, they will be the home side. So good luck to Hunslet in that League One Shield final. Let's head back to the DW Stadium in Wigan, where Gary Schofield is still there. Scully, as you mentioned a few times there, last home game of the season for Wigan. No lap of honour for their players, though, I guess, after that one. Everyone's gone home.
Yeah, they have indeed, mate, yes. And no, they wasn't too happy, the Wigan fans. And I say, going out by the numbers and numbers, and there wasn't too many left when the Wigan players did do a bit of a lap of honour, to be honest with you. Nothing to celebrate here, Richie, I can reassure you.
We'll talk about Castlewood's performance, and certainly it seems, well, they wrapped that game up in the first half, didn't they?
Yeah, they did indeed, and it was just sheer quality and the opportunities that was created. But I say, but the man who would be taking all the headlines, there's no doubt about it, and rightly so, would be the young kid, Jake Truman. And, you know, they recommend Castlewood sign this young kid from the Bradford Bulls, and the big rumour was is that, yeah, the kid, his qualities, he's going to be the real deal in time to come. And, well, and I say, certainly what I saw in the first 40 minutes, the respect what the senior players showed him, the respect what Darryl Powell showed him as well, just to play with that confidence, play with that vision and awareness as I keep going on. And also, too, the senior players, they did exactly what this young kid told him. He got him around the park, got himself a hat-trick in the first half from there, yeah. And he's convinced me, Richie, yeah, this kid has got a massive future in the game.
Well, I'd say he's 18 years old. We spoke about the fact pretty much that I guess there's a different kind of pressure going into a game like this for a young player, but to have performed that well in the first half, I guess he was quieter in the second, but Castleford as a team were quieter in the second, and Wigan had to do something in that second half and had the ascendancy for most part of it.
Yeah, they did, but Castleford didn't have a lot of ball as well in the second half because a bit better ball control, you would say, from Wigan. But also as well, let's not forget, this young kid was playing against George Williams and Thomas Lunaway, who were seasoned internationals, Richie, and I say he didn't look out of place. But also too, he had the experience of Max Shane at side of him as well, and good organisation. But the thing about it is that Darryl Powell has put the confidence in this young lad, and you've got to give credit to the experienced players as well, because as I mentioned in commentary, you know, how many coaches would say to a young kid, listen, you go out there, you boss these experienced players around and they will listen to you. And that's exactly what the Castlewood players have done. They have given this young kid the respect what he fully deserves. It doesn't matter if he's 18, 22, 28. This young kid has got the respect of the senior players already, and it showed out there this afternoon. And I tell you what, not just for the players, but Darryl Powell for saying to this young kid, boss these players around and make sure that you play as well as what you can do, which he has done, but also the senior players have reacted to him. And Castleford fully deserve this victory here this afternoon.
You've spoken many times about your start of your professional career, how Dave Toplis went to bat for you with Arthur Bunting at Hull. It must be nice for a young player to have that backing, and I guess that's what Jake Truman will be feeling about this, feeling like this evening.
Without a shadow of a doubt, and I say it won't be just from the backing from Darryl Powell. Look at the other two coaches they've got there in Ryan Sheridan and Danny Orr. And what positions are they, Richie? What positions are they? They are halfbacks. And as I say to all you coaches who are out there now in Super League, if you've got quality halfbacks who are 18 and 19 and they like to be very, very vocal, they like to take yards, give them the opportunity. Give them it, because that's all these players want. They want an opportunity to show that they can play first-team football. So let them get on with what they do best. It's as simple as that. And it's just proved here this afternoon that if you give them that opportunity, you give them that responsibility of the added pressure, they will respond to you. So all you coaches out there now in Super League, if you've got quality young halfbacks, instead of playing players out of position, playing centres at stand-off, playing loose forwards. I nearly lost it there, Richard, a little bit, didn't I? Okay. Playing centres at stand-off, playing loose forwards at stand-off, putting prop forwards at stand-off when you were attacking. Listen, take a leaf out of Darryl Powell's book. Watch, learn and listen.
So a big win, 38 points to 20. And that's three wins from three now this year for Castleford over the defending champions. And I guess this seems strange, doesn't it? They're probably going to finish fifth or sixth this year, Wigan. But it's almost not good enough, is it? The champions last year won the World Cup Series at the start of the season, but Richard, that's not good enough for Wigan.
No, oh, no. It's not good enough. That is for sure. And they will be big discussions at the end of this season because, you know, it's not good enough. No, this club will tell you, the directors will tell you, and certainly the supporters will tell you. No. It's not good enough. And finishing certainly out of the top four, boy oh boy, no. They will be serious meetings come the end of the season.
Well, we've seen Tony Smith leave, or about to leave Warrington at the end of the season. Will the pressure be on Sean Wainey? It appears that, in a sense, a bit like Brian McDermott, there are elements of the Wigan fan base who aren't fans of a coach who's obviously won plenty of trophies for them.
You'll always have that. You will always have that anyway. It doesn't matter. Let's just say, for instance, Sean Wainey did the treble every year, to be honest with you. They still would be fans who say, no, we don't want him. So that can't be all. That comes with the territory, doesn't it, from there? But again, the question will be, it's like any, you know, with Tony Smith, he's been there 9 years, and I know myself from my experience, has a coach been there too long? You know, the players will decide that, because there's no doubt the chairman, Ian Lenigan, he'll be asking his senior players what's going on in the dressing room, and does Sean still have that dressing room? Does he still have the respect from the players? You know, Sean will always tell you, yeah, he's got the dressing room and he's got the respect, but the players will decide, and we'll see what happens. But no, if Wigan do not make the top four, which is, for mine, very much highly unlikely now, come the end of next week in fixtures, then this has been a massive disappointment for the Wigan club.
Of course, Castleford march on. They've got Hull on Friday. They may play Hull a couple of times in the next couple of weeks, depending on how things fall in terms of the semi-finals and the final. And Hull, one of those teams who do have a bit of a sign over Castleford this year, so it'll be an intrigue, won't it? It could be a phony war on Friday, I guess, with them likely to meet again.
Yeah, maybe so. But Darryl Powell, he'll be looking to making sure that the players themselves still have that confidence, and they're going, because they know the week after they're going into Tivity, which is unknown to them. Semi-final football, 80 minutes away from the grand final. Hey, listen, nobody thought that Castleford would be getting 80 minutes away from the grand final. Don't make no bones about it. Ollie, our boss, Mark Wilson, but he's bonkers anyway, isn't he? He said to get a grand final and win the grand final, but he's bonkers. We didn't take much notice of him at the start of the season, but this is coming into new territory now for Castleford. So yeah, they'll be wanting to make sure they do a job on Hull, and then it's all about the 80 minutes. So it's a new experience for Darryl and his coaching staff, at the players, but boy oh boy, I tell you what, one thing for sure, they will go into that challenge with a smile on their face and very much look forward to it.
Yes, it's exciting this time of the year. Isn't it? You must be pining to be out there on the field and dictating matters.
Richie, I'm 52 years of age, you know what I mean? And maybe just a little bit too old, but one thing for sure here tonight, today I should say, is it's been a delight to see this young 18-year-old. And somebody said to me, Aaron Bauer said, Scoey, just like you as an 18-year-old with plenty of confidence. And do you know what? Credit to my coach in Arthur Bunting. One thing what Arthur never did was knock the confidence out of his players. And certainly the young kid himself, a young devotee who played in there. And the great thing for this young kid is, in Truman, is that he's got a coach who believes in him. Don't matter what age he is, he's got a coach who believes in him. And I tell you what, he's paid Darryl Powell back to there. And he's got a massive, massive future. Hey, listen, I said it in commentary. Wayne Bennett, are you watching? Wayne Bennett, are you watching? I know people out there go, oh, Scoey, he's only played 18 minutes. What are you going on about? Listen, this kid is a natural halfback. Hey, listen, how good was Alex Murphy as a 17, 18-year-old? How good was Andy Gregory as a 17, 18-year-old? How good was Edwards? They put them in halfbacks there. Give him a taste. Give him a taste. Because, listen, we've got to build for the World Cup in 2021. Is this young kid ready to be involved? Tell you what, why not? Why not? I got picked on the Kangaroo Tour. Played against them in 1984 as an 18-year-old. Get the kid in. I know people will be thinking I'm bonkers. Tell you what, this young kid's ready.
But I guess this is where we go back to the thorny old subject on a Monday of how does he get game time next season? Because obviously there's no Alliance/A-team rugby. He's obviously only in the side today because, well, I assume he's on the side.
Listen, quite simple. put Luke Gayle on the transfer list. Sell Luke Gayle. Sell Luke Gayle, put him on the transfer list. Hey, listen,
Casper. Are you trying to get him at Leeds? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah, well, listen, Casper don't need Luke Gayle for the semi-finals of the grand final. Luke, I've told you, get yourself an holiday. This young kid's a real deal. I'm only kidding you, Luke. But one thing for sure, no. This young kid has impressed me from there. And to be honest with you, I said to Steve Gill, I said, hey, listen, Steve, get this young kid in a five-year deal because people will be wanting this young lad, I can reassure you. But, you know, from a serious point of view, you know, I would imagine all our listeners know, what's he on about? The kid's only 18. So what? Doesn't matter what age, is only a number. This young kid is quality. Mark my words.
Ian says you're always right on Facebook. So at least you've got one person who agrees.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you for the respect.
lots of very happy Castlewood fans.
Should
I be concerned by the second half, the drop-off perhaps in performance? Or was it, as you say, you just couldn't get the ball from the Wigan side?
Yeah, they just couldn't get the ball, Richie. It's as simple as that. And when they did get the ball, as I say, Minicky got himself a double from there and a good field position. Shenny scored the try. He needs a bit of inspiration and that last try from there. They just didn't have the ball. Simple as that, you know. So, overall, yeah, Dallow Pyle will be delighted. He'll be absolutely delighted with it.
50 points for Castlewood, 12 points clear at the top of the table. As you mentioned in commentary, it would be a shame, and I say this as a neutral, if they didn't go on to win at Old Trafford, because people will be willing to ask questions, I guess, about their bottle if they don't.
Well, that's going to come into it, isn't it? And as I said before, the week after next, 80 minutes away from Old Trafford, it's a different pressure. You know, the jungle itself will be absolutely rocking. The Castleford fans, they expect the grand final, you know, and why shouldn't they? The way they played all season, but it's a different sort of pressure and new territory. But as I said, the players are going there with plenty of confidence. They're going it with a smile on their face. And if they handle it, well, they're going to Old Trafford. There's no two ways about that.
Who will they be playing at? Since we don't know who's in the four, it's a difficult question.
Well, you can't rule out Leeds. Leeds have got what they wanted. They've got a home draw from there. So you can't rule out Leeds, can you? You know, so who would have thought it would be Castleford Leeds grand final from there? I was anticipating Wigan here winning today because, as I say, obviously with Roberts and Luke Gayle missing out from there, you know, the way that Wigan go about the business end of the season, they seem to handle the pressure. They love this time of year. Everybody was thinking, yeah, it could be, you know, Cass and Wigan if they didn't. But anyway, Wigan have gone now. So the grand finals situation, well, St Helens getting the four. They've handled this pressure situation. Hull now, they know what pressure's all about with the Challenge Cup and whatever. So could it be a whole St Helens final, Richie? Richie, we don't know, do we?
It could be anything.
Yeah, we don't know the top four now, but you would imagine that to hold St Helens, Leeds and Cass, but we don't know. But we don't know the grand final's going to be. The question's going to be, can Castleford handle the pressure? The question about Leeds, they've got the home draw. Yes, they can handle the pressure because they've been there, seen it, done it before. Hull FC, 80 minutes away from the grand final. Have they had that pressure before? Was they there last year? They got beat before, didn't they?
Yeah, they didn't turn up against Wigan in the semi-final.
Yeah, you know, so from there. And then St Helens have been there, so it's cup football, semi-final football, a different sort of pressure. So, oh boy. To stick my neck out, I don't sit on the fence. I'm going to go Cass and Leeds grand final. I change every week.
That's the Wakefield supporters' nightmare grand final there, isn't it?
Yeah, I change every week like everybody else is doing at this moment in time.
Well,
but
you are allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hull, I guess that was a big win for them on Thursday against Wakefield, and a game in which they snuck through, and that's what you have to do at this time of year. What they didn't do, as we said last year.
Absolutely. As I said to Ree Radford after the game, mate, to be honest with you, a win's a win. Simple as that. And the week before, Wakefield were the better side for 78 minutes and 30 seconds. They were the far better side overall, you would say, for the full 80 minutes. But the biggest stat, Richie, as I said, is the scoreboard. And he's just not got the scoreboard right for Wakefield over the last 2 weeks. And Radders will take it. Win's a win. They know themselves. They learnt from last year. This is where they want to be. This is the position what they want to be in. And so now they go to Castleford knowing exactly what they have to do. Simple as that.
And a nice try from Gareth Ellis pretty much to get them on their level terms and a drop goal to win it. And I guess, you know, having had an indifferent run since Wembley. Like, they found the form, I guess, at the right time, because last year they went into that game against Warrington when they could have clinched the league leader's shield, blew the semi-final, and having won the Challenge Cup, it's almost a disappointing end to the season. But now, still a positive feel around Hull.
Oh, it is. Yeah, very much a positive feel. And, but also, too, we ran us on after the, you know, in the presser after the game. It's very open and honest. His halfbacks were useless. And then the war, all right, Sneed scored, that's right. And then, you know, kicked a few goals and again using his kicking game. But yeah, and he was absolutely right. The combination between Sneed and Albert Kelly needs to step up a couple of gears, to be honest with you, because, and I say, they wasn't anywhere near. As good as what Radders wants them from there. They just can't rely on at times an inspiration of maybe of a Danny Outen or a Gareth Ellis or a Minicello. They have to be, from a combination point of view, they have to be at the top of their game, the two halfbacks, because at this moment in time, they just seem to be lacking that missing link for Hull to get where they want to get.
While we're talking of Hull, obviously some sad news yesterday, the death of one of your former teammates in Steve Evans.
Yeah, very sad and shocked as well when I heard the news from there. Brilliant player, Steve Evans, very, very classy player, very speedy and the size step what he had. You know, he scored the only try against the Kangaroos in 82 and record signing for the Black and Whites when they signed him from Featherstone, I think around about back in 1981, 82 for £72,000 in them days. 59 years of age. Sad loss, and I was very, very shocked when I heard yesterday, Richie.
We talk about Hull, we talk about Wakefield as well, and it does appear that I having seen Salford Leeds on Friday, which you haven't seen, you weren't there.
I'm glad to be honest with what I'm hearing.
You were very glad not to be there because it was a dreadful game. In fact, we'll talk about this game first before we get on to Wakefield, because Leeds and Salford had nothing to play for in this game. Leeds obviously secured their place in the semi-final. Salford are out of it. Salford were exceedingly negative. Phil Catlin said in commentary he didn't want to say it, but I'll say it. They were very, very negative. They went for the 2 to open the scoring. That's fair enough. But there were so many kicks to touch on the fifth tackle when they were 20 points down, 30 points down. I'm thinking, why don't you just throw the ball a bit and try and score? It just seems completely counterintuitive. And to be honest, Leeds, they'll be exceedingly happy that they didn't concede a try, but I can't think of many times in the game where Salford had a chance to score a try. And that's a bit of a sad indictment on a team who have struggled to get crowds this year, that they were so negative in a game where they didn't need to be.
Well, it is, and I guess from a point of view, the coach can answer that question, why don't want to play that sort of way, to be honest with you, and nothing to lose. You know, go out there and play with that freedom and expression. So I guess the players were playing under the coach's orders, and were you telling me that, and also a few Leeds fans have saying as well how negative Salford were, but as I say, they got what they deserved, and they got a hammer in, 44 points to 2, and fully got what they deserved.
Maguire and Burrow combined for a try, which, as Doidy said in commentary, was like going back to 2004. And as we always say, this is their time of year, isn't it, Scurrier? Leeds, that they know exactly what to do at the right time of the season. As everyone knows, Wigan may be out of it now, but we've still got that Leeds spectre on the horizon that they'll go to Old Trafford and somehow yet again be crowned Super League champions.
Yep, managed to win. You know, and it's called experience, it's called players who can, you know, the players who can handle the pressure, been there, seen it, done it before, whatever philosophy you want to come into it. So you can't rule them out, can you? You cannot rule them out. But one thing for sure here now, and people have been saying, but you've no right to go there, but, you know, Castleford don't even get there. You know, the way they played this year, what they have, the 10, 12 points ahead in the league table, it would be, I guess it would be a travesty. But as Matt Orton said, that's the system, there's the rules. So, whether they get in the semi-final, they're not going to lie down for them, are they? Not going to make it easy. Not going to make it easy, because whoever it is the player, whether it's St. Helens or Hull, they're going to make it very, very difficult.
I think Phil was trying to use a bit of psychology on me on Friday when he said, you know, Wakefield will learn more from these games they've lost narrowly over the past 2 weeks. But I guess the completely pessimistic part of me thinks this might be Wakefield's only chance of making to the top four. We don't know what's going to happen next year. And I'm not saying Wakefield will be worse than they have been this year, but we know they spend less than every other team in the competition. Other teams who spend more may spend wiser in the off-season. You would expect Warrington to be back up there again. Maybe Wigan will be further clear of Wakefield next year. It's almost, to me, an opportunity missed. It's been a great season, as everyone says, and that's true. Yeah. But as I said on Friday off air, it's almost as if Wakefield had finished sixth without having a chance of finishing fourth, it would feel a lot better than it does at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with that. Totally agree with that. As I say, we mentioned, you know, can Wigan be as bad next year? St Helens, can they be as inconsistent? Warrington, can they be as bad? If Catalans do survive from there, you may say from that. So, yeah, I totally agree with that comment, what you're saying there. This, you know, Wakefield, yeah. Listen, it has been a great season. Sensational season for Wakefield this year. The way they've played, Chris Chess have got the best out of his players. Liam Finn and Jacob Miller being outstanding. So, most of them have for 1-17. But, again, with that experience, what's come, getting beat on Friday night by that one point, you know, missing the drop goal, and we all know the howler from Scott Briggs the week before. From there, yeah, they've learnt. But will that opportunity come again next year with the bigger sides? Maybe not playing as well as what they can do. And yeah, I agree with you, Richie, totally. I agree there. Has it been a chance blown for Wakefield to make the top four? Yes, it has.
Well, what I will guarantee is whatever the score is on Saturday against Wigan in the afternoon, there'll be more people there to clap Wakefield up after the end of the season than for your Wigan today.
But also as well, though, Rich, as well, you know, were you Wakefield fans again? You know, because Michael Carter can't do enough for you supporters. Chris Chessett and the players can't do enough for you supporters. So listen, it's the last game, last home game of the season. Get yourself down there and celebrate the season. You know, just celebrate this great season, what you've had, because the style of play has been sheer quality. The players overall for this season have got where they've got. And I say, with the backing of Michael Carter, great coaching from Chris Chester, get yourself down there, make it a full house and make it a great atmosphere.
Next weekend, we've got the almost £500,000 game. Last year we saw Huddersfield go to Hull KR in the final round and sneak out the victory that saved them and their Super League lives. Next weekend, we've got Widnes and Castleford with the losers, Catalans rather, sorry.
Yeah, Matt's just come back and joined us anyway, Rich.
Widnes and Catalans with the losers of that one heading into the £1 million game abyss. You're here, Matt. You watch Widnes a lot.
I hope Widnes lose because I'll get more work.
You saw Hull KR the week before as well, because I heard you do that one. What's going to happen? I mean, how did Catalans come back and win that one on Friday? Anyway, I know they should have beaten scratch Hull KR side anyway, but Hull KR love losing these games tight at the end of the season at the new KCOM Craven Park, whatever it's called.
We were listening to Saints Huddersfield on the way back from the first of the run-ins in Warrington we did on the weekend, and we got out of the car, Hull KR 19-8 up, and we thought, oh, well, there you go, that's a decent result. Widnes win tomorrow, they should be okay. Get into the house and see the younger, and went, oh, what about Hull KR? Well, they've won, haven't they? No, they've lost, and we were like, really? We couldn't believe it, and it's just opened the melting pot, hasn't it? And it's made the qualifiers a really thrilling finish again this year, hasn't it? And I think Widnes have only ever drawn once in Catalan. They've lost every other trip they've been there, but Catalan, not a good side, are they, at the moment? I don't think they were that special on Friday night, from what I've heard. So Widnes, they should have enough to get over the line and avoid the abyss of the £1 million game, and Lee will have the problems of the short-term round and getting to Catalan as soon as possible.
I know this is an unpopular opinion. It would be a shame if Catalans went, because they do add more to the competition, not just Lee and Widnes, but other teams as well in the Super League.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a lot of Super League fans, the first thing they do when they get the fixtures out is they're on the Ryanair website and booking flights to Perpignan, aren't they? It's a big weekend. It's a big weekend for the Speckies. They like going out there. Allegedly get some decent weather. I've been, most of my times have been in February and March, unfortunately, but I've had some decent weather in February, but it's a cold old place, it's Perpignan, in the middle of winter, and it's not nice early on in the year. And it is a great spectacle, isn't it? And they've had some really good teams there, haven't they? There was one year when they finished third, and it all went wrong for them in the playoffs when they lost at home. And they are genuinely have brought that international dimension into Super League, and it's going to be, sadly, maybe the Championship next year, which is going to be the big international competition, isn't it? If you think Toronto, Toulouse, Catalan, London, it's going to be a very cosmopolitan competition next year in the Championship.
Crowd of 8,000 as well in Toronto yesterday for their final game of the season. So things looking interesting in Canada.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with a potential second team there as well. I mean, at the moment, This is almost as hard as who's going to make the four. Who is going down? Who is going to depart from Super League? A shame for London that they couldn't get across the line and put some jeopardy into that million.
Andrew Henderson was fuming yesterday. He said, "My boys have turned up and not performed today. They've not gone to the plan. They've not executed. They've got some basic stuff wrong." He was absolutely fuming, Hendo, yesterday, as you may have heard in the clip, because I think I did send it to you.
Yes, you did. So, of the three, Widnes, Catalans, Lee, who will be facing the trips to Toronto?
Whoever isn't at home in the million-pound game, I think.
I think the million-pound game would be Catalans and Lee, and it would be at Catalans.
So, Lee then. Well, no, I'd fancy Lee to turn Catalan over.
Yeah, I do. The performance what they showed there 3 weeks ago. Yeah, so, yeah, the million-pound game's Catalans, Lee. And I think the Catalans are going. I do.
Well, the good news is there's no Yorkshire involvement in the million-pound game for the first time, so that means no Yorkshire sides are in jeopardy.
And no exclusive online commentary either.
No. I mean, you can pay someone to come round to your house and do it. No, that's all right. But other than that, no, you'll have to fend with the people on the telly, whomever they may be. Before I let you go, because you've been there a while, and I can hear that there's no one at all in the DDW Stadium.
There's six ground staff currently patting the pitch down.
The Wigan Warriors end of season party.
And somebody from them who we don't mention.
Oh, them?
Yes.
I saw and I haven't seen Saints and Huddersfield on Friday.
I listened to it on the radio, and it sounded an absolute shocker.
Did you hear the booing of John Wilkin?
No,
because Leon Price was a bit upset about it.
I didn't really know. I was listening to them again, wasn't I, on Friday night?
What was he getting booed for? Because he was kicking the ball, or he was trying to be a halfback, or
poor performance, or whatever. Or maybe he's seen as a symbol of Saints malaise. This is the team who still could, of course, win the grand final.
Well, where did he play? Where did he play on Friday night? He wasn't playing in the halfbacks,
was he? I don't know.
Played at 13, I think.
Well, you know what? Surely the coach there, Holbrook, has got to get the message. You know, because, as I've said before with John Wilkin, as a back rower, when he does the job of a back rower, he's a quality back rower. He is. But when he's being allowed to try and play like a halfback, then it's atrocious. It's atrocious, and if that's the case on Friday night, well done to the St. Helens fans and letting the club know their feelings about it. Simple as that. But as a back rower, when he does the job as a back rower, as I've just said, and I'm repeating myself again, and as I have done throughout all the season regarding John Wilkin, you know, don't play him and give him the responsibility of trying to be a ball player, because he's not. Simple as that, and he certainly can't kick the ball. No way, man.
As the Philadelphia Eagles coach Joe Courage said, if you listen to the fans, you'll find yourself sitting with them. However,
listen, right? Fans are allowed to express their opinion. You know why? Well, because they pay the money to watch it. They pay the money, and they're just like anybody else, as we know with the situation, you know, with the Grick situation over the last couple of weeks. They are allowed there to express their opinion, because they come, they watch, and they pay their money to give their opinion. So I couldn't care less what anybody else says. They are entitled to their opinion. Whether it's good, bad, and indifferent, it is.
There has been, I guess people are mixing up abuse, which is wrong, with an opinion which is not necessarily positive, which should be encouraged. I mean, you must have been you've obviously been booed by away support. Were you ever booed by your own support?
Yeah, listen, Richie, right? And Phil Kaplan will back me up on this. Listen, when Leeds got beat, there's only one player who got the blame, and that was me. And I took that responsibility, because, you know, I was the main playmaker, and, you know, I was the main man who was supposed to get it all organised and sorted out. And from there, and there's only one person who got blamed. Even Peter Smith, who's, you know, with the Yorkshire Post and whatever, they'll tell you. But I love that responsibility. Yeah, and I took the responsibility on. You know, because you've got to do. If you are one of the main players in there, and with the experience there and the quality of what you've got, you've got to expect it. You've got to expect it, instead of being big crybabies and want your nappies changing all the time. Honestly, it's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. It is. You know, but all right, players are unhuman, but certainly the mistake, and we saw it here with Zach Hardacre today. Not good enough. Zach is a far better player from that, and certainly, as we say, with Scott Griggs 2 weeks ago, that should not have happened, because he's a far, far better player than what mistake what he did. But, and the reality is, it's a simple fact, the reality is, it's cost Wakefield the top four spot. Wakefield, the fixing against Wigan on Thursday night, if Wakefield win, then they could have kept their top four place. So it's reality. So at the end of the day, grow crystals. Simple as that. Grow some crystals, because being criticised and being having opinion against you is all part of being a professional sport. It's as simple as that.
And tell me any rugby player who hasn't made a mistake.
Exactly.
Including the legend himself.
Exactly. But, you know, don't cry about it. Don't go crying and get your chairman to back you up and all this sort of thing. You know, get your nappy changed and grow some crystals. It's as simple as that for me.
I think we'll talk more about this tomorrow from 6.
Can you get Michael on as well? It should be fun, shouldn't it?
I'm just glad that I didn't tweet anything after the Wakefield Saints game last week. Otherwise, I might be banned from Bellevue again. Matt, thank you very much. Scotty, what's in the column tomorrow?
The column tomorrow, my dream team's out tomorrow. It's out in the column. The coaches, who should be for the coaches of the award. Tribute to Steve Evans. And I think, and also to thank you for Nigel Wood for coming on the show last week. So very interesting column tomorrow, and I would imagine plenty of debate of my dream team. Do you want me to announce it on radio? Oh no, people can.
Make the people pay their £1.50.
Yeah, pay £1.50 for the League Express. But one thing for sure, Wakefield fans will be delighted, because I picked one of their players, but I'm not telling you who it is.
Is it David Fafita?
No.
Oh. Scully.
So you Wakefield fans, keep guessing.
Scully, thank you very much indeed.
As ever,
Matt,
Rich.
We shall catch up with you again sometime in the near future. Matt Horton and Guy Scofield there, live from the DW Stadium on today's Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire Extra Time.